good to be with all of you tonight. We've had and enjoyed a wonderful day in my home. We enjoyed the time we had together this morning to gather with saints and to participate in the acts of worship that God has given to us to do. And I'm grateful once again to be with you this evening and to do these very same things together in unity of heart and mind. It is a beautiful thing that we are able to worship in peace and to have the Word of God set before us. And with that, I would ask you to open the Word of God in your own hands and turn to Ezekiel chapter 4. Our study is going to be from Ezekiel chapter 4, and I appreciate Caden's good reading of Ezekiel chapter 24, because there the Lord told Ezekiel that he would be a sign to Israel and to Jerusalem. And so Ezekiel was and is a sign to Jerusalem and Israel. I believe on the timeline here that Ezekiel has been deported from Jerusalem into the land of the Chaldeans. He is in Babylon. We know that Daniel is already there. And so there is a third deportation that will take place but has not yet. And that kind of sets the scene for us. Many have already been taken out of Jerusalem and Israel and taken into the land of the Chaldeans. They are being held captive. And this is by the will of God. He had prophesied these things through Jeremiah. I believe Jeremiah is still in Judah or Jerusalem, where the nation of Israel was and was established. But Ezekiel now is in the land of the Chaldeans. And the Lord will appear to him, and he calls him Son of Man several times. And I'd like to look at chapter 4 with all of you tonight and to consider some of the things that took place during this terrible time for God's people. This sermon comes from a request that I received a week or so ago, and so I promised the member that I would do the very best that I could to share my thoughts on Ezekiel chapter 4. So that's why we're here tonight, but I hope and pray that as I have studied and looked at this portion of God's Word, that I have learned quite a bit, and I hope and pray that tonight that will continue with you as we study God's Word together. And the title is, Son of Man, Set Your Face Against Jerusalem. Look at Ezekiel chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. The Lord says to Ezekiel, "You also, son of man, take a clay tablet and lay it before you, and portray on it a city, Jerusalem. Lay siege against it, build a siege wall against it, and heap up a mound against it. Set camps against it also, and place battering rams against it all around. Moreover, take for yourself an iron plate, and set it as an iron wall between you and the city. Set your face against it, and it shall be besieged, and you shall lay siege against it. This will be a sign to the house of Israel." And so there it is again. The Lord has told Ezekiel that he will prophesy to the people. He will speak. He will rebuke. But he's also told Ezekiel in previous chapters, I believe it's chapter 3, where he says, "I will also cause your tongue to cleave to the top of your mouth, and you will not be able to speak, and yet you will prophesy to the people." And so here is one of these moments here where the Lord has given Ezekiel instruction, take a clay tablet. This would be something that he could draw on. And he says, draw the city, Jerusalem. Portray Jerusalem on this tablet. So Ezekiel's getting the instruction from the Lord. He would draw as best he could the city of Jerusalem. He's going to lay this tablet down. And he's basically going to be an illustration for the Israelites. The Lord tells him, besiege the city, set up walls and a hill. And that would be for the archers. Oftentimes when a city was laid siege on, they would build a large hill or accumulate dirt so that the archers could shoot from a higher point of view and to be able to launch their arrows into the city. And so this portrayal is happening where this miniature figure is being built, not so that they would hear anything, but the people would take note as they saw this illustration that Ezekiel's been called by God to create. And so it has begun. The Lord has started to give him instruction on how this will be done. He wants him to lay siege against it, to set battering rams against it all around. There's also an interesting bit of instruction given by the Lord to take yourself an iron plate. This would be a thin piece of iron that was often used to bake bread on. The Lord says specifically it must be made of iron. And now this city that he's created with this clay tablet and the battering rams and all that the Lord told him to do, he's to lay on his side and to set this piece of metal, this iron piece of metal that the Lord has required between him and the city. So we're starting to get a picture here of what the Lord has said to him. And what I want us to really take hold of here is that, first of all, you build a model. Ezekiel's certainly going to do that. And he says, this will be a sign to the house of Israel. Look at verse 4 with me. Ezekiel 4 and verse 4. It says, lie also on your left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of days that you lie on it, you shall bear their iniquity. For I have laid on you the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days, so you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when you have completed them, lie on your right side. Then you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have laid on you a day for each year. Therefore you shall set your face toward the siege of Jerusalem. Your arm shall be uncovered, and you shall prophesy against it. And surely I will restrain you so that you cannot turn from one side to another till you have ended the days of your siege. Did you take note of how many days the Lord has required of Israel, or of Ezekiel, to lay on his left side? 390 days. He was to create this clay tablet, draw Jerusalem on it, set it up as a model of some kind. But now Ezekiel is personally involved beyond just creating this city. The Lord says to him, I have laid the iniquity of the house of Israel upon you. And for each day will represent a year that will be on the nation of Israel. 390 days you will lie on your left side. I don't know how all of you feel about this, if this was something that was asked of you or commanded of you. But I can say to you that after I lay on my side through the night for an hour or so, it's about all I can take. I've got to go to the other side or maybe lay on my back. And so just think about this with me. Every day you will lay on your left side and you will look at this city which you've created. Imagine the amount of time that would go by for this prophet to be looking at that city, to look at the drawing that he drew a few days ago, a few months ago, a year ago. He's still looking at the same image that he built. There may be parts of it that he wishes he could fix because he didn't draw it very well. There may be times when he just looks at it and he wonders, why me? Why do I have to do this? Why has all this been placed on me to lay on my left side 390 days? By the way, who's counting these days? If I'm a prophet for the nation of Israel and God has told me what to do, when they walk by and they see me laying on my side, are they counting the days because I am and God is? Do they know what this represents? Do they know that their iniquity has been laid upon me? We don't get any picture that Ezekiel can share this with anyone. He is told to build a model, to lay on his side, to expose his arm, to do what he's been told to do as a sign. Now that says something to us about the people that he's prophesying to. Their ears don't work. They all have ears, and they can hear what they want to hear. But what they hear when it comes from the mouth of God will not penetrate the heart. It will not cause them to change nor to repent. And so he's being commanded to do this because now the Lord is not going to go through the ear gate anymore. He's going to use the eye gate. And if you're thinking with me at all about the New Testament, you know, the Lord uses this same way of teaching someone the truth through a faithful woman who has a husband who is a non-believer. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1, the Lord says that by your conduct, if you have a husband who does not believe, through your conduct, you may show him that your faith, in your chaste behavior, the condition of your saved soul, the way that you behave, that it will be something that your husband will take note of and see with his eyes. It's not to be said with the mouth. It's something he's to watch and to see. And so maybe, again, the wife would be worried about how long she's been the good example and that he hasn't budged. He hasn't even asked any questions. Well, think about Ezekiel. He's told to do the very same thing here. No longer prophesying with the tongue, but using imagery. I have a photo for you here just so we can get a picture of possibly what this looks like. This is an artist's rendition of it, but we see Ezekiel laying on his left side. He has this city that he's built. He's got it, besieged walls around it. He is looking at the city, and you can tell that he has the iron plate there. He's holding that iron plate between him and the city. And what I want to share with you is that as you look at this image, it's powerful symbolism. How much of this are they taking in? I don't know, but the Lord has told them to do this, and there's powerful symbolism that's taking place. The city is under attack. We can see that from the photo. We can see that from what Ezekiel has done here. The prophet of God is there. He can see the city. He's there with them. And yet there's an iron wall between him and the city. There's something in the way. He knows what's going to happen. It's been given to him by the word of God. He wants to tell the people, and yet they won't hear. There is an iron wall between his mouth and their ears. There is beautiful imagery and symbolism here of what is going to befall these people. And this is the way the Lord wants it delivered. But I share with you that they will not hear. 390 days on your left side, and when you're done, Ezekiel, you will lay on your right side for 40 days, and that will be the number of years against Judah. I counted up the days. It's 1 year and 65 days, or a little over 14 months, that he has been told to lay on his side and look at the model which he has built. Verse 4, the Lord says, "You shall bear the iniquity of this people." And again, I want us to think about Ezekiel and what he's been asked to do, the charge that has been given to him. And I want, as we move through this, I want to reflect back to ourselves and what the Lord's asked each one of us to do, to share with those who may not know the truth, to tell someone the great message that God has given to all of us. Sometimes it doesn't work out of the mouth, as I pointed out before. Sometimes it's imagery. Sometimes it's the example that you set or the tough decision that you make. And the Lord expects us to be a shining light to a lost and dying generation who is destined for hell without the only Savior of all the world. And think about what the Lord has told Ezekiel to do, and we know that he has done what God commanded him to do. Look down at verse 9 with me. It's going to get a little harder. If you weren't convinced this was going to be difficult, Ezekiel chapter 4 and verse 9, the Lord says, "Also take for yourself wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt. Put them into one vessel and make bread of them for yourself. During the number of days that you lie on your side, 390 days, you shall eat it. And your food which you eat shall be by weight, 20 shekels a day. From time to time, you shall eat it. You shall also drink water by measure, 1/6 of a hin. From time to time you shall drink, and you shall eat it as barley cakes, and bake it using fuel of human waste in their sight." Then the Lord said, "So shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles where I will drive them." This is what this represents, Ezekiel. Your people, the children of Israel, will eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles. That is what this is going to represent. And this is very difficult for us to think about or to consider, the prophet of God being commanded to do such things. But he says to him very clearly, this is an example for what they are about to face. And this is something that you must do. Now, it's interesting the combination that the Lord gives to Ezekiel to make this particular kind of bread. Verse 9, we have wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt. I'm not perfectly sure about all of these ingredients, but what I do know is that when you make bread, if you're wealthy in this day and age and you want bread, the finest bread was made from wheat, from flour that comes from wheat. The family or the individual who's not as well off, maybe considered poor, would have to go to barley or barley cakes. That's kind of the those who are not as well off would eat barley because they just don't have the money to pay the higher prices for the wheat. But the Lord's given him ingredients here that include wheat and barley and beans. Mash up beans and put those also in the bread. You know where we're headed here when we're thinking about these ingredients? Lentils, millet, and spelt. All of these ingredients are used to make what looks like or would represent some type of bread. This is stinky bread. It's not good. There is, by the way, if you want to look into it, there is a company who makes Ezekiel 4:9 bread. And so you can actually get a hold of them, purchase this, and try this. I've shared this with a few members this morning, and Kurt Norbit told me he's tried the bread. And so I said, "Well, is it good?" And he said, "Well, you have to learn to like it." I said, "Well, you need to tell me, is it good or not?" He said, "Well, we convinced another guy to try it, and he tried to feed it to his dog, and he wouldn't eat it." And so that's the bread that's been made today based on this concoction of bread. It's not good. It's not good. It will sustain him. The Lord knows that it will keep him going. It will keep him alive. But this is stinky bread. Now, then the Lord tells him to cook it over burning human feces. Our stinky bread just got a lot worse, didn't it? This is awful that the Lord has asked him to do this thing. It is an abomination before God. This would be unclean. And look what the Lord's telling him to do. Not to speak to the people, but to show them each and every day by what he ate and the way that he laid on his side, that he would do this to be in demonstration to the people. Now, he's given Ezekiel a lot to do, but you get to verse 14, Ezekiel says, "Ah, Lord God, indeed I have never defiled myself from my youth till now. I have never eaten what died of itself or was torn by beast, nor has an abominable flesh ever come into my mouth." Then he said to me, "See, I am giving you cow dung instead of human waste, and you shall prepare your bread over it." Now again, this is not good, but it is better. Cow dung at this day and age, this time, even today, if you don't have kindling or firewood, a dried cow dung will work fine to warm the body. But it is not used to bake bread or to cook food. It is not used for that. It taints everything that you're trying to do. It is not used for that. And yet, the Lord has said, this is what you will use for 430 days as a sign to the people. Verse 16 says, "Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, surely I will cut off the supply of bread in Jerusalem. They shall eat bread by weight and with anxiety, and shall drink water by measure and with dread, that they may lack bread and water and be dismayed with one another and waste away because of their iniquity." And so the Lord tells him ultimately what all of this represents, but he is still called and asked to do it. The Lord says to him, "Son of man, surely I will cut off the supply of bread to all of Jerusalem." And I want to share with you that surely the Lord God did cut off the supply of bread to all of Jerusalem and to all of Israel. Hold your place there and go over to 2 Kings chapter 25. We'll see where this takes place. This prophecy that Ezekiel speaks of. 2 Kings chapter 25. I have just verse 3 here because it speaks of the lack of bread. But let's read from verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and encamped against it. And they built a siege wall against it all around. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land." Think back when Ezekiel laid on his side. "How long, Lord? When will you save us from this terrible situation?" They were warned and they were told, but they would not listen to the word of God. I want to consider just a couple of other passages from the book of Ezekiel. We've read through chapter 4, but look at Ezekiel 2 with me. Because we do need to understand the context in which all of this is happening, the condition of the people, and what else the Lord has said to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. This is the Lord speaking to Ezekiel. He says, "And he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. For they are impotent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious." I want us to be thinking about what the Lord's saying to Ezekiel and ultimately what he had to do, because it's important to us. First of all, the words rebelled, rebellious, rebels is used much more in the book of Ezekiel than it is in all of the other prophets. And the Lord calls them a rebellious people over and over again through other prophets, not just him. And yet in this book, you will find the word rebellious, rebelled, and rebels more than any other prophet. prophet. And he's saying, this is a rebellious and impotent people, and you're going to go talk to them. And he says, you're going to tell them my message, whether they will hear or whether they will not hear. Now, I want us to draw a comparison to our lives and what we're doing today. Because tomorrow, if the Lord tarries, we will go back out into a world who still needs the truth. And you have it. You understand what's been said. You know that there is a great and awesome day that's coming. And you know that if the Lord tarries and gives us time, you know that there could be a soul who just needs to hear you say it. We witnessed today two souls that turned and obeyed the gospel. The gospel that is preached from this book, there are still people today. We witnessed it with our own eyes. Where are our ears? What are we listening to? What are we doing with it? We must understand that the call is upon us. Not in the degree or the way that it was upon Ezekiel. He was given specific instructions, but there is a parallel here for us. And you know what? What did he say to him? Though you go out in thorns and briars among scorpions. Guess what? You're going to do that tomorrow. You're going to go through thorns and briars when you go into work among scorpions. You're going to feel just like Ezekiel if you're paying attention. They don't want to hear that. Most of them are going to frown and scowl and say, we're tired of you bringing that up. You're ruining my day with all this hell and salvation and Jesus and sin. You've not been asked to lay on your side and cook your food on cow dung. God has shared a message with us that has been hidden from the beginning of time. It was the mystery of God that's been given to us. So it's not a commandment as though, you better go do this. It is, I must do this because I understand what the Lord's done for me and I understand what His message means and I understand that there are souls that need to be saved. And so I'm compelled. Though you go out among thorns and bristles and deal with scorpions, you tell them the truth. Now here's the other part of my point here. Sometimes we act like we're working on commission. And Ezekiel would be a fool to think that he's working on commission when he's going to a people who are not going to hear. No one's going to listen to you, but you're going to say it. Was Ezekiel accomplished in what he did? Did he do what he should have done? Was he successful? The answer is yes, because Ezekiel's speaking to us tonight as he laid on his side for 430 days. We're looking at it. We're talking about it tonight. How many souls looked to Ezekiel and said, we're in a lot of trouble here. He is prophesying about what's about to happen. I don't know. The Lord said they weren't going to listen, and they were not going to respond, and they didn't have ears to hear. Do not be dismayed by the evil look, the one who doesn't want to hear, the scowl on the face. God's plan for man and the power of salvation is equally real as it's ever been. Whether they hear or they rebel, you tell them the truth. Whether they listen or they do not listen, you tell them the truth. It is not based on numbers. It is based on you understanding what God's called you to do and whether or not you're doing it. That is where your success lies. When I come home after a day and I've been out among people, the store, wherever I've been in the day, you consider your life, and I come home and I've told no one. If I am evaluating my day, and I don't always do this, but when I evaluate my day, I feel that I have failed those who I came across. There are days when I am committed to this and I do my very best and I find a way and I hand out a card and I tell someone who the Lord is and we'd like to have them at worship services. All I say to them sometimes is, come and see. I've told them, haven't I? I've told them. I am a success. And you are too. Whether they come or not is irrelevant. You have a message that must be shared. And when you tell them, God is pleased. He is thankful that there are those laborers in His kingdom who are working. We must be to the work. The only way that I can fail and the only way that you can fail is when we remain silent and we don't say anything. Our actions don't show whether we're a Christian or we're part of the world. We're kind of in between or on the fence on most things. We're not committed to the Lord and to His work. You failed. You failed. But when you find a way to share, whether through your actions or your word or the best way that you know how to do that, you are a great success. Do not measure success or failure based on what they do. Look back at what you have done and what you're committed to do and know that the Lord is pleased with those who share His message. Look at Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 8. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside. And written on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give to you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey in sweetness. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. Now to me, as I make this point to go out and to proclaim the truth in any way that you can, do it with his word and his will. We are not good ambassadors when we have not consumed his word for ourselves. I won't do well if I don't take hold of this myself. There is something given here to us where the Lord says, take this and put it in your mouth. There's lamentations and mourning and woe. Ezekiel is given this scroll. He is told to eat it. He can see that there's writing on it. And God says to him, this is my word, and you put it into your belly. And I just want to share with you that we should be doing that too. It is the word of God. What does Jesus tell Satan? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And if we're not feeding ourselves, then we don't fit what Jesus is saying. And we're ill-equipped to have those conversations and those discussions. Ezekiel is told to take this to himself, and it becomes very personal for him now. He has consumed this scroll, and now when he speaks, he is simply going to speak the very things that he placed within himself by the commandment of God. And we have that in our lives too as New Testament Christians. And we should be studying God's Word, taking it to ourselves, growing and maturing in our spiritual lives, and taking note of the fruits of righteousness or the fruit of righteousness that's produced in our lives. Let's read another passage from Ezekiel chapter 3. Beginning in verse 7. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impotent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Ezekiel should be glad that the Lord has hardened his forehead. Look to the extreme that the Lord goes with this idea of hardening the forehead. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious people. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, receive into your heart. Listen, that's key. That's key. He's already taken and put it into his belly. The Lord says to him, do not be rebellious as they are. Listen to my instruction. Do what I've told you to do. Receive into your heart all of my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears. And go, get to the captives, to the children of your people, and speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they refuse. I can appreciate very much that the Lord, being with Ezekiel, giving him this very difficult message to share with those who the Lord already knows will not hear, he says, their foreheads are hard, but I've made yours hard too. And you go, take my word into your heart and share it with the captives. Proclaim my word to those to whom I send you. And again, what a difficult, difficult challenge for Ezekiel to have to go through all these things, to take on all of this. Why would a man be asked to put such a great weight on his shoulders when the one who's asking him to do it knows that no one will turn, that no one will hear? It's very hard for me to grapple with that idea and to think about what that means. What I do take from it and what I do see is that the Lord did tell him to do it. And we see a man, Ezekiel, who went and did what he was told. And today, because of God and his power, we know what he has done. And we know that he was faithful to the Lord and the word that he gave him to do. And so we can be just like Ezekiel. Do not be dismayed. Do not be discouraged. Do not lose heart. Go to those whom you love. There may be somebody you need to call tonight. And tell them that your heart's been moved again. We've talked about it before, but I just want to share something with you. Offer them a verse. Say something to them so that they know that you care. And they know that you believe they're in trouble. There are souls that need to turn to the Lord. And we know how much He loves each one of them. It's not a guilt trip. It's not a trick. The church doesn't want their money. It is a cry from Jesus Christ Himself. Whosoever will may come to me. Whoever thirsts can have water, living water, everlasting water, forever and ever. And each one of us here tonight, we're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are His messengers. And though the challenge that was set in front of Ezekiel is not specifically given to us, we do have it set before us to go and to proclaim the truth to a world that desperately needs to hear it. I pray that you will do this very thing this week, and I hope that you're praying for me. Because I am setting my heart to the work, I will do all that I can. There are those who need the Lord, and the Lord wants to bring them home. If there's someone here tonight who needs to obey the gospel, you know what Jesus Christ has done for your life, to wash your sins away, and to save your soul, make that move, do what you must do, knowing that God Himself has commanded it of you. Get in line with God's will, be obedient to Him, and you'll be eternally rewarded. If you need to come forward for any reason, if we can help in any way, come forward while together we stand and sing.